Joining us now on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
It's been a very interesting morning in the soybean pit already. We've been as high as 1349.5 in the March and as high as 1314 in the November. But after the excitement of the opening bell, gave back much of the gains, and now we're pushing higher again.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about it, Dave, is we're pushing higher again, led by the wheat. And I think this report really is a significant report in that it's probably the best report for the wheat that we've seen in 6 to 7 months, because we're seeing an increase in demand both here domestically with higher exports reported and also a big increase in global consumption. Essentially, I think the USDA has finally come around to the idea that some of this missing corn demand is showing up in the wheat. They're talking about better consumption in terms of higher food, seed, and industrial production in China, higher wheat feeding in Australia, Iran, and South Korea. And I think this is where they're coming lately to the party, but it's a very welcome thing to see, because for the first time in 6 or 7 months, with the global wheat ending stocks going down 3.5 million tons and surprising the trade today, wheat could now once again try and shrug off its seasonal weakness and try and head a market rally and actually provide support to the beans. And I think between that and the fact that before the opening, processors in Iowa and Illinois at the rivers were posting 10-cent protection on their bean bids, worried about a move lower after a higher opening, I think this suggests to me that maybe beans are no longer the leader to the upside, that we really need somebody like the wheat to come in here and help support.
Although one must say, if we hold all the gains we've seen in the wheat pit, we've cleared with force Fibonacci retracement levels, and I don't know how much more upside we could see.
Well, we have seen a big shock to the downside this week, and again, I think that's because of the seasonality and some of the export demand and some of the European data that we've seen here in the last 2 weeks. And so this would be a timely point in the marketing year, with the seasonal being negative, that we would try and turn the market back higher and kind of run counter seasonally. I think that would provide an enormous amount of support to the wheat, as we talked about in at the Beef House meeting, which, by the way, you and Todd did a phenomenal job as usual on that. But what we talked about at that meeting, when Todd asked me about what's one thing beans has going for it that the corn does not, and I said to him, the feed wheat competition. This could be an issue where the corn is allowed to move higher because the wheat's no longer pressing on it.
How does the market that we see in futures lining up with your weekly DJ, USB, and S&P GSCI charts?
Yeah, the commodity index charts, both on the total charts with the whole index and also the grain charts or the agriculture charts, both would suggest the indices are running hot. They're overbought right now, but they're not overbought to the point where a break is imminent. I think the break would be if we could continue on technically and break above some of the 50-day moving averages that we're keeping track of, and in wheat in particular, the 200-day moving average in March. I think that could extend the gains based upon these commodity index charts, that we could get a little bit, maybe another 2 to 3 weeks higher before then we have to start worrying about a significantly overbought situation bringing in profit-taking. I think the other thing that's really important about today's report, Dave, is that we did get the supply reduction on South America, bigger than market expectations, I think, but the USDA did not transmit that into demand increase. They kept our exports the same, and they took the imports for China down a second month in a row for soybeans. And so that elasticity of demand that I've been talking about in my papers and in meetings, I think that is starting to play out here, where the higher we go now, the more we're going to cut off the demand now and later down the road. So I think today's report does lend more credence to the idea that the top end for the bean price without August weather problems is more likely to be in earlier in the year than later in the year.
Well, USDA gave a reason for unchanged exports because they're suggesting that the reduced supplies in South America will raise prices at the futures exchange, and then reducing global imports. I don't know. Will traders believe that?
Yeah, I think they will, because I think that we are in a susceptible time period agriculturally because of the overall global economy. If you take a step back from today's report, we do have to realize that China has said they are ready to slow down their economy. Brazil is slowing their economy, whether they want to or not. They are seeing a slowdown in their economy. So you have two of the four BRICS starting to slow down. You have Russia, who just put Putin back in with a lot of unhappiness by some, a lot of political issues there. And then you have India, who also has some issues with their GDP and inflation at the exact same time. So I think this is where it goes back to the BRIC economies that have created what Jim Rogers has talked about for many years as this commodity super cycle. They look vulnerable in 2012, and therefore higher commodity prices may not be met with increased demand or the same demand.
Well, we've been talking corn has got hot, especially in front months. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think we've got this wheat market up about 10. The corn is trying to keep up with the wheat. I think the wheat-corn spread, we noticed that the wheat-corn spread in the lead month futures, because March corn has not traded much, has gotten 26 cents discount. March wheat under March corn. In the May contract, though, the March wheat is running right almost at parity with the corn. So to me, this is a race between the wheat and the corn to stay parity with one another in the May contract. So the better we do in wheat today, I think the better the beans do, and the corn says, okay, I'm along for the ride, because we do globally still only have about 14% stocks to use when it comes to global coarse grains. And when it comes to major competitors, this year we've got about 10.7 million tons. Last year we had about 12.7 million tons, essentially 15% less competition out there in coarse grains than we had last year. So that's why I like this wheat report especially.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day, sir.
You too. That's Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. And he is in Lafayette, Indiana.